two words, two small words that are found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 that I want to try to emphasize here this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. And the two words that I want to try to describe who they are is the word us all. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Who are these that are described in the us all? Whoever they are, he says, how shall he not with him? How shall not God with Christ also freely give us all things? Give us all things. Not pay us. It's not some proposition set forth that you meet certain conditions that after you've met them will enable you to have part and parcel with them. But it's giveth. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Us all, two us alls in that verse. Now, what a blessed, precious, wonderful, glorious truth is this for you, who can do nothing, think nothing, desire nothing, and have nothing that is good except what God gives. What a mercy it is. What a great mercy that you have nothing to do, nothing demanded on your part, that you might reconcile yourself unto God by what you do or what you don't do. You have nothing to do. You're like a beggar. You have nothing to give. The only thing you can do is receive. Can't give anything. You've got nothing to give. Like the fella, two fellas our Lord talked about and said, and when they had nothing to give, he frankly forgave them all. When they had nothing to give. As long as a man's got something to give, he's not a candidate for the mercy of God. If he thinks he desires mercy, or if he thinks he deserves mercy, he disqualifies himself as a candidate for mercy. If you think you deserve mercy, you disqualify yourself. Mercy is for those that don't deserve mercy. What a mercy it is that you and I have nothing to do. It says here that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, with respect to the persons included in the words us all, it's very evident that the Apostle Paul, the writer of this book, it's very evident that he does not mean that all of Adam's race or all of Adam's posterity are included in the us all. It's also very evident that all of Adam's race have not all good things given unto them. And that's the truth. They are thousands upon thousands alive and well today who are ignorant of God, who go on as fast as they can to fill up the measure of their iniquity, who will be damned at last for their sin. So he's not talking about every member of Adam's race. He describes the persons contained in the word us all. They are set forth in the word, described as his own nation. They are described as his people. They are described as his kingdom. They are described as his inheritance. David of old, whose heart beat with the heart of God, said, "Blessed be the nation whose God is the Lord." He also said that there is a nation which God owns as his nation, and of which he is king and he is Lord, and he is the only potentate. David said, "I have set my king upon thy holy hill, Zion." Now, I do not think that David meant literally the kingdom of Israel, but I think what he's talking about is God's peculiar people among the kingdom of Israel. He's talking about a spiritual nation, a holy nation, a spiritual nation, which he has something to say about here in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there and see what this says. The us alls are called a spiritual nation, a kingdom of God. Notice in the 9th verse of the 2nd chapter of the book of 1 Peter. Listen to what he says. First he says, in verse 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood." To do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Nothing is acceptable unto God apart from Jesus Christ. The best prayer that was ever prayed by the best man that ever lived is not acceptable unto God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We used to have an old lady that came to this church years and years ago, and I believe was a fine Christian lady, and she used to tell me every once in a while about hearing someone pray. And she would always say, "They make such a wonderful prayer. They make such a wonderful prayer." Well, regardless, that's neither here nor there about the wonderful prayer. But no wonderful prayer is ever made unto God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can come unto the Father except by him. Can't come to him in prayer. Can't come to God in prayer except you come through him. God has wrapped up everything that he has and everything that he has to give. He's wrapped it up in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's shut up, bound up, tied up, wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a prayer can be made that will be heard by God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ as our intercessor, our sacrifice. Only Him, only the Lord Jesus is pleasing unto God. You can't be pleasing unto God, and I can't be pleasing unto God apart from the pleasing of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom, in the person of, I'm well pleased with Him. Hear ye Him. Can't do it. So He says here, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, found in the Scripture. Whatever is found in the Scripture is truth. And the people who God is talking about in the us all are people who love the truth. They don't hate the truth. They don't put question marks behind the truth. They love the truth, whether they understand the truth or not, yet overall speaking, they love every word that falls from the mouth of God and the holy writers penned upon these pages. They love that truth. Wherefore also is contained in the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, wherein ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which speak of me. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, shall not be confused. Why won't he not be confused? Because God will give him a heart to understand, and he won't be confused. Unto you, therefore, which believe, this chief cornerstone, elect and precious of God, he's precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. Precious. The only thing that we can compare precious to, in a sense that we might understand the value of it this morning, is gold. Gold is precious. You know why it's precious? Because there's not much of it. That's what makes it precious. The Lord Jesus Christ is precious. There's only one of Him. There's not two or three or four, just one. And He's so precious that you'll never get to God apart from Him. That's how precious He is. You can't get to God except you get to God by Him, who's the chief cornerstone, the elect, and he's precious. And therefore, you who believe, he's precious. Precious to you. To them which be disobedient, to them that won't believe, this stone, this chief stone, the Lord Jesus, which the builders disallowed, that is, the nation Israel, they disallowed this stone. It's like a company of men building a foundation. And they roll in the stones. And the chief builder, the chief construction man, looks the stones over and he says, this one's fit and this one's fit and this one's fit, but here's one. He said, it's not fit. Don't put it in. And he disallowed it. He rejected the stone. Now that's what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. They rejected him. The builders rejected the stone. The disobedient, he said. He said, to them which is disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed and rejected, the same stone is made the head of the corner, and is a stone of stumbling, and a stone and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. A chosen generation. Who chose you? Who chose you? You say, well, I don't like this business of God being on the throne and having all the say-so. Well, like it or not, that's the way it is. God's on the throne. And He does the choosing. And if you're talking about persons and people, He chooses persons and people. And the reason for His choosing them is not found in them. It's found in Him. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? He will do right. Now listen. They're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Now he's not talking about the nation Israel. That's not who he's talking. He's talking about those who have been begotten by the Word. He's talking about those who were dead in trespasses and in sins and were the children of nature, even as others. He's talking about those that His Spirit has worked grace in their heart, and they cry out to Him, Abba, Father. They are His sons and His daughters. They have been begotten with the Word of the Gospel. They have been born of the Spirit of God. They are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's that chosen generation. That chosen generation. You hear them talk about they're not of our generation. I hear on the television people who sometimes decry the morality of this day, and they say the morality of this generation is detestable. They have no morality. In history, they'll write about this generation. They had no morality. They were not lovers of holiness. They were not lovers of God and the lovers of truth. But there is a generation within this generation who are a chosen generation. And they are the people of God wherever they're found. Whether they be Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterians, or whoever they are. They're a chosen generation. They've embraced God's Christ as their Redeemer and their substitute, their righteousness, their acceptance. They've embraced Him. They're that generation that God's talking about. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. We do not, this chosen generation does not go to some man as they are men and ask that man to intercede to God on their behalf. They do not confess their wrongdoings and their errors to some mortal man who is as sinful as they are. They are king. God hath made these of His generation kings and priests forever. They go to God through their high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever lives on high. Chosen generation of royal priesthood and a holy nation. They're a holy nation. What do you think of that? Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, and a peculiar people. That ye know. Notice what he said. That ye should show forth the praises of him. What is their main business? These people who are a chosen generation, us all. How? He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us? Give us, who are they? Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. What should they do? Why, when salvation is brought home to their hearts and they understand that Jesus Christ is all in all to them, he's everything to them. Why, that has an effect upon their hearts. And what do they want to do? They want to show forth the praises of him. That's what they want to do. That's what they desire to do. To show forth the praises of him who hath called them. Where were they? They were in darkness. They couldn't see. But they were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that effect, that the sweetness of who Jesus is and what the Lord Jesus did has its effect upon them. And they're never the same. They've been changed. They've been converted. They walk not in this direction anymore. Their objective is to show forth praises of him who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. They desire to do that. They don't always do it, but they desire to do it. Called out of darkness, set forth as a holy nation. Now listen to me. Not holy in their fallen nature. Not holy in their fallen nature. We've got a fallen nature. It's never changed. When God saved us, our nature didn't change. It's still as bad as it always was. And if you're honest, you'll agree with me. You're as bad now as you was before. Your nature. Your nature. There's two opposites in you. There's the spiritual and there's the fleshly. And they war one against another. And the fleshly never changes. Never changes. That's the reason. We want to do something, we find we can't do it because there's a war going on inside us. What we want to do, we can't accomplish. What we don't want to do, we generally do. There's a war going on. Not wholly in their fallen nature. Listen, there's no people on the face of God's green earth who are so sensible as to their unworthiness as this holy nation is. They are sensible to what they really are. I'm only a sinner. Only a sinner. Never change from that. There's no people on the face of the earth who groan because of their sinful nature like this holy nation does. These people that comprise the us all, that royal priesthood, that holy nature, they have a hateful sense of their unworthiness and their unholiness. They detest what they are in themselves. They hate it. They say from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, they're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and they're altogether an unclean thing. Their righteousness is as filthy rags. But, bless God, they are a holy nation unto the Lord and in the Lord. Perfect in him. Everyone under the sound of my voice could could understand that if we have been the recipients of God's Christ, the substitute, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin, if we have Him as our Savior, our help, our friend, our guide, our light, if He's ours, we're perfect in Him. Oh, you shrink back, do you? Say, me perfect? Not in yourself, not in your fleshly nature. You're imperfect. You're full of putrefying sores. You're full of maggots. You're full of worms. You're full of dirt. You're full of filthiness. In yourself, in your own flesh, your fleshly nature, but in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen. Blessed be God this morning. He's given His people an understanding heart. And they know His gospel. They know His gospel. Let me read something to you here from John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Listen to what it says. Verse 21. This is our Lord praying here. This is His high priestly prayer. Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone. I'm not just praying for the apostles. I'm not just praying for these that have embraced me at this particular time. Not just them, but for them also, which shall believe on me. Are you one of them? I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Here it is. 2,000 years later, I heard the message, and I believe on it. I didn't believe because it was in me to. I believed because a work of grace was worked in my heart, and God opened my heart with understanding. And with these eyes I see, these ears I hear, and with this heart I believe, and I say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I pray for them, he said, not these, not just these, but for them also that shall believe. Listen, shall believe on me through their word. Now listen to what he says here. That they all, who's he talking about? They all. Well, all those that believe, those before and those that believe as a result of the testimony of those who believed before. All believers. That's what he's talking about. Now listen. That they all may be one. One. Not two. One. 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 As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Remember I told you that the Lord Jesus Christ is none other than the second person of the Trinity. And I told you that He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And I told you that God is one. Yet, He has represented Himself in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There are three, but yet they're one. It's three in one and one in three. But there's one God. And He said, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. We're one. Now listen. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou sent me. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we are not perfect in ourselves, in our unworthiness, our fleshly nature, but we are perfect in Him, perfect in Him. There's no flaws, there's no blemishes, there's no spots in us as we are connected to and with Him. We're one with Him. First Adam sinned against God, the first Adam. I wasn't even born. I don't know what was on the tree of the fruit that he ate. I just know it was in the garden and God told him not to eat it. I don't know anything about it. I didn't eat of that fruit. But he who represented me ate of that fruit. And it was counted as if I ate it. That's how you got this way. You got this way because Adam was your representative. And because he sinned. You was one with him. I don't understand it. Well, you better try your dead level best to understand it. Because if you don't understand that, you sure ain't going to understand about Jesus Christ and you being one. If you can't understand how you're one in Adam. By one man's sin, by one man's disobedience, that's what happened. We're all sinners. And by one man's obedience, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. No flaws, no blemishes, no spots, no wrinkles in us. A holy nation in Christ. Huh? How blessed it is. Huh? Oh, to see the holiness of the Lord, the perfection of His beauty. Here His people are holy in Him and nowhere else. Not in yourself. Nowhere else. I in them and thou in me, that we may be perfect in one. This nation is a holy nation. Internally in their hearts. Internally in their hearts they are a holy nation. Not internally as to their fleshly natures, no, 1,000 times no. I've been following this trail. I've been in this way for 40-some years. 40-some years. Short and sweet are every one of them. But I've been in this way since I was in my middle 20s, and I'm in my middle 70s. I've been in this way. And I first thought, when I got in this way, I first thought I would get better as I proceeded along in years. I wanted to fill my mind more with God. I wanted to have the world more under my feet. I wanted this cursed army of sin and iniquity that's in me to be put down and to be weakened. But instead of that, I think it gets to my feelings stronger and stronger, so that when I feel the depravity, I'm made to cry unto God, can ever God live in this dirty, filthy heart of mine? What do you think of that? That's my experience. I don't know about yours. But if there was not a holy kingdom in a child of God's heart, he would never come to hate this unholiness if it wasn't there. We feel in ourselves that our hearts are as black as a devil can make them. Our hearts are forever wandering and rambling, and causes us to grieve because of it. And we cry out to God and want God to deliver us from this spirit that lusteth against the flesh that lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit that lusteth against the flesh. These opposite causes us that we cannot do the things that we would, but yet this holy nation and holy kingdom within our hearts has holy desires of living to God and for His glory. And then he says, last but not least, that they are a peculiar nation. This nation, which is a holy nation and a peculiar nation, this generation, they are a nation with which no other nation on the top side of God's green earth can be compared to. They have a particular language. They call one another brother and sister. There's no nation under earth like them. They are loved with a peculiar love. They have a love that they are the recipient of, that has no beginning and it has no end. It has height, but it has no top to be found to it. It has depth, but has no bottom. He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Is not this love a precious love, a peculiar love? It has peculiar effects upon the soul that receives it and hears it. It makes him love his God and makes him to love his people. And he loves everything that honors and glorifies God. And he despises and detests everything that does. That's the effect that it has. I was talking to a friend not too long ago, a few days back, and he was talking to another fella, and the other fella said, what you need to do is to accept Jesus. And the fella that was telling me the story said, He said, I didn't know hardly what to say. I didn't want to offend him, but I didn't understand what he's talking about. He said, I need to accept Jesus. And he said, everybody loves Jesus. He said, I guess everybody's accepted Jesus. Ain't nobody hates Jesus, are they? And he finally told him, not knowing what to say, he said, I do go to church once in a while. He said, I go up there at that Richards, where that Richardson fellow preaches. I went up there a couple times. He said it's been a couple of years ago since I've been there, but he said, I'm thinking about going back. He said, I just told my dad the other day, Dad, I think I'll go back up there and listen a little bit. And this fellow said, you don't go up there at that church, do you? And he said, well, yes. Well, he said, they're nothing but a cult. He said, that's all out there, a cult. He said, they don't have anything to do with anybody. He said, all the other churches around, said, they don't have anything to do with it. He said, there's all these Baptist churches. He said, they don't have anything to do with the Baptist church. And I said, plus, we don't have anything to do with the Mormon church, the Roman Catholic church, or the Methodist church, or the Baptist church, or the Seventh-day Adventist, or the Seventh-day of this or that, or we don't have anything to do with any of them. I said, you can tell them that if you want to. You want to be a cult? I don't know what he's talking about. I preach the gospel. Anyone's interested makes me interested. And I found out if a man ever receives it, if a man ever finds out who he is, it'll have its effect on him. It'll have its effect. And he'll love and honor God, and he'll love and honor those who honor God on him. Huh? Listen. The effects, it'll cause you to bear ridicule. You'll be able to bear ridicule and insults, contempt that men have upon you. You'll be able to bear, for Christ's sake. Huh? Oh, these people, they love all that is of God. Their love, even though sometimes it's treated with contempt, they try to return it with kindness. It's such a peculiar love and a particular love that no one can understand it but those who have received it. They can't understand it. You can understand it here this morning, can't you? Because it's the same. you understand it. You marvel why everybody can't understand. Listen. They who are described in the us, I'll be through here in just a minute, are the citizens. They're the citizens of God's city. They're the citizens of the city where God the King reigns and where God the King rules. They're citizens of that city. They are members of the household of faith. You've heard of that in the Bible, haven't you? And this city is immutable, and all the ways of the devil and his demons can never overthrow this city that they are members of. God has walled this city round about with his salvation. This city of God, where those are the household of faith, where they dwell, it's founded upon a rock. It's built upon a rock. The King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only one that's omnipotent, with all of his glory, he dwells in this city. And he protects his people, those on his left hand and those on his right hand. They're citizens of his city. They eat at the same table. They eat the same food, don't they? The children's food. They're taught the same language. They're all clothed with the same clothing, the righteousness of God. They're all brought to have the same feeling towards the household of God. They love one another. They're brothers and sisters. They talk about the things of God. They're all united in their heart together in truth and in love. My soul, he gave them his son, and his son completely annihilated, abolished sin, and put an end to it. The devil was conquered, death was subdued. He that spared not his own son, he inflicted his own son with the punishment that was due us as senator. The penalty and the wrath of God that was due us fell on him. Vengeance belongeth to God, the Bible says. The vengeance of God against us fell upon his son. He spared not his son. At Gethsemane's garden, he was not spared. There he was in agony. Drops of his blood fell to the ground. Not for his sin, for he had no sin, but for the sins of his people. He suffered the just for the unjust. A holy nation, a chosen generation, the household of God, a peculiar people. Not all of Adam's race, those that he knew and foreknew before time. No one is excluded. You say, well, you've excluded me. Oh, no. If you'll have him, you can have him. The Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. If you're one of his, come to him. Come to him. If you're a sinner, you qualify. As long as you're holding on to some good thing that you think is God worthy, well, then you don't qualify. Drop it all and lay it at his feet and come to him. Just own him to be your king. Let's stand.